Of course, we're celebrating 250 years of America as we lead up to the 4th of July this Saturday. And we've had historian, professor, Dr. Eddie Lee in here earlier this morning. Now we've got Zach Limhouse, historian with the Cultural and Heritage Museums. We heard from Mayor Lee talking about the role that South Carolina as a whole play. We're going to bring Zach in now to talk about our area specifically. Zach, welcome. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Now, South Carolina, as we heard from Dr. Lee, was significant with over 400 battles and skirmishes happening throughout the Revolutionary War, but there were some huge battles that happened right here in our backyard.
That's absolutely right, yeah. Of course, Huck's defeat was a big early one, but we had the Battle of Kings Mountain on October 7, 1780, which is the turning point many historians and contemporaries at that time, including Thomas Jefferson and Henry Clinton, who was in charge of all the British forces in North America. They both recognized Kings Mountain as a major turning point. So we have these battles that really did turn the tide of the American Revolution that occurred here in York County.
So obviously we know the way the British came in. The British attempted to come in through Charleston. They came in a bunch of different ways. Why did the upstate area of South Carolina have such a significance? Because if you follow the map, that would make sense. You had all the stuff going up in the Philadelphia areas, Virginia areas, places like that. But how did the British and the Continental Army kind of come together in this upper part of the state? Because to me, it seems like, okay, if you got Charleston, Columbia, you're not worried about Kings Mountain. How did that come about?
Yes, so I'm sure Dr. Lee likely mentioned it when he spoke to you guys last, but South Carolina was very important to the British because there was such a large loyalist population in South Carolina when the war began. So just to give you an idea, in 1775, when the war started, there were more loyalists in South Carolina than any other colony in North America except for New York. New York had the most loyalists. South Carolina had the second largest number of loyalists. And the British strategy hinged on mobilizing this large loyalist force. So that's why Great Britain had their eye on South Carolina. However, in our part of South Carolina, in the back country, we have large patriot populations. And that's because the vast majority of the people that immigrated to this part of the Carolinas were Scots-Irish Presbyterians. They came from a place in Northern Ireland called the Ulster Plantation. And these people that were living in Ulster Plantation, their ancestors were Lowland Scots who had immigrated from the lowlands of Scotland to Northern Ireland, and there their cultures mixed. So if you've ever heard someone say, I'm Scots-Irish or Scotch-Irish, that's what they're referring to, this mix of Scottish culture and Irish culture. And these Scots-Irish Presbyterians, they migrate over to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, starting in the late 1740s and early 1750s, and then gradually they make their way south down what's known as the Great Wagon Road into present-day York County. And if you've ever seen a map of the Great Wagon Road, it comes right through present-day Rock Hill. So these Presbyterians, because of their ancestors' history with being colonized by England, they had a healthy distrust, to put it mildly, of British authority. Mm. So they're coming to the American colonies with this distrust of British authority, in many instances kind of ingrained in them.
It's generational.
It's generational trauma, all right, from this chafing under this British authority, their ancestors chafing under this British authority. So, I mean, that's part of it, of course. So when the Revolution breaks out, many of them are predisposed, to put it one way, to kind of ally themselves with the patriot cause. But there's another reason. Prior to the Revolution, there was an event in South Carolina's history, specifically in the backcountry, called the Regulator Movement. So during this time period, if you needed to have any kind of official legal documents signed, you needed to go to court for any reason, you had to travel to Charleston, the capital of South Carolina
from
at the
here?
Time. Correct.
Wow.
There was no court system here in the backcountry prior to 1769. So before 1769, if you needed to go to court, you had to go to the Lowcountry. So as a result, there was very little law or order in the backcountry. So you have a group of settlers in the Carolina backcountry who decide to take matters into their own hands. And they form a group of people called the Regulators. And they're a vigilante group, right? They're acting as judge, jury, and executioner. In their mind, they're maintaining law and order, but it's not long before they start exacting some revenge, one might say, on maybe a neighbor that has wronged them, because there's no force to stop them. So the royal governor of South Carolina, appointed by the King of England,
sure, yeah,
is going to send a group into the Carolina backcountry to kind of check this regulator group. They call themselves the moderators. So you have a regulator-moderator conflict going on in South Carolina. And fortunately, it doesn't come to bloodshed, at least not the way that the regulator movement in North Carolina will come to bloodshed. And there is a law passed in 1769 called the Circuit Court Act, which establishes courts in the Carolina backcountry and kind of addresses one of those grievances of the regulators, that there's no law back here. However, it's interesting because though the Circuit Court Act of 1769 ends the regulator-moderator conflict, that bad blood between the regulators and the moderators is still there. So when the revolution starts, we see a correlation between the people that were regulators. They tend to be patriots when the revolution starts. And those people that were moderators, they tend to be loyalists when the revolution starts. And it makes sense. That moderator group was an arm of the royal government, right? Because they were sent by the royal governor of South Carolina. So you almost have a mini revolution during this regulator-moderator conflict, in so much as you have rebels, your regulators, fighting against this extension of the royal government. And that bad blood transitions over. And we see a resurgence during the American Revolution.
When you look at South Carolina's role, specifically this area, let's talk the Battle of Kings Mountain. We rate it as, you know, one of the five or six most important battles in the Revolution history, in the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. Why was the Battle of Kings Mountain so critical to the success of the Continental Army?
Yeah, absolutely. So Lord Charles Cornwallis, he was the one who was in charge of the British forces in the Southern Campaign. So the Southern arm of the British forces, Cornwallis was in charge. And he was tasked with suppressing the rebellion, ending the rebellion in South Carolina before moving north. The idea was he was going to suppress this rebellion in the South, and then he was going to make his way north. When he decided to make his way north, it was following the British victory at the Battle of Camden. It was an overwhelming British victory at the Battle of Camden. So he is emboldened by this, thinking that maybe he has suppressed this patriot uprising in the Carolinas. So he makes plans to leave the British stronghold in Camden, which is in present-day Kershaw County, Camden. If you haven't been, you should check it out. Historic Camden it's a great historic site. But we've also got a Revolutionary War Visitor Center there that if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Anyway, I digress. He decides to leave Camden and to make his way north into North Carolina. And he sends Patrick Ferguson to kind of protect his western flank. He sends Patrick Ferguson into North Carolina. And as Patrick Ferguson crosses the border into North Carolina, he sends this message because he knows that there's a strong patriot movement in this part of the Carolinas. So he sends this message in an attempt to suppress this patriot movement, that these patriots better not interfere with him or he'll hang a man from every tree, right? It's a very kind of famous statement that he makes.
Right.
But instead of scaring off the patriots, it emboldens them. It enrages them. And they are going to defeat him on October 7th, 1780, at the Battle of Kings Mountain. Ferguson will be defeated, and Cornwallis is going to be forced to abandon this attempt to go into North Carolina because his western flank, that protection he had on his western flank, has now crumbled with Ferguson gone. Cornwallis is forced to go back into South Carolina and remain there. He does his winter quarters in present-day Fairfield County, Winnsboro. He does his winter quarters there, and he doesn't move back into North Carolina until after the Battle of Cowpens, as he's chasing the Patriots after the Battle of Cowpens up into North Carolina. Cornwallis is forced to continue to fight this this counterinsurgency is a way you can look at the American Revolution in the South. This counterinsurgency, in the entire time he's here, he is expending resources and manpower and energy. And it was almost a death by a thousand cuts, right? Mm. That he expends so much energy and resources here in the Carolinas that by the time he's finally able to get out of the Carolinas, he has to retreat to Yorktown, Virginia, where he's going to rendezvous with destiny, so they say.
And of course, we know what happened when he went there and didn't turn out too well.
We know what happened.
Zach, as always, fountain of knowledge. We appreciate you spending some time with us. We know you'll be back next week to talk about the anniversary of Huck's defeat, which is July the 11th?
That's right, July 11 and 12, Saturday and Sunday. Definitely come out. We've got a lot of wonderful things happening. We got a speaker from the Smithsonian Institute coming. That'll be really great. We've got our friends from the Charlotte Museum of History coming to share a revolutionary, no pun intended, new exhibit where they're using like video game technology, augmented reality to put visitors in the American Revolution. So we'll be talking about that, I think, next week. You and I will be together to chat more about that.
Being back next week. Zach, we appreciate it. Happy 4th of July to you.
Happy 4th of July to you, Chris. Thank you.